We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Colorado Avalanche raised the cup. It took a really great team to dethrone Tampa Bay. Bob and I in agreement that the Lightning deserve a ton of credit for everything that they've accomplished. Really, what have they been in the last 8 years? And they've been to four finals, two additional conference finals, and they've won a couple cups. So that's a hell of a team, but this one was clearly better, in spite of the fact that there was a pronounced edge in goaltending, the most important position for Tampa Bay. What about Jack Johnson raising the cup? I think he was the fourth guy to get it. Eric Johnson was the first after Landeskog, after the captain. What did you make of Jack Johnson and that story?
Well, it was a great opportunity for him to fit in a team where his role was kind of minimal, although throughout the course of the playoffs, he did play a lot of minutes in some of those games. So just a veteran guy back there. You know, if he keeps it simple, he can be effective, and that's all they asked him to do. He didn't need to do a lot on that defensive core because they had so many good players. Taves, nobody talks about Taves, but Taves is really, really good. McCarr gets all the talk. But the bottom line is I feel good for him. He's gone through a lot in his life, from the parent situation that resulted in lawsuits against his own mother and father for taking money. I'm happy that he got a chance to hoist it.
Yeah, that's the reason that I'm happy for the guy. Is that's one of the most sickening, honestly, life stories I've ever seen in my life. Having said that, they found a way to hide him. I mean, let's be honest, he played 8 minutes and 50 seconds last night.
A role. Not unlike guys that the Penguins brought in.
Sure.
Veteran guys. Hainsey had a role.
Well, Hainsey had a prominent role.
He did, however, but you know what I mean. Guys who weren't part of it.
I mean, they found a way to hide him.
Right.
Is what he did. He did some good things.
A little Jack Johnson goes a long way.
A very little, yes. and it doesn't erase the fact that he's the worst signing in Penguins history and that they're still paying for it to the tune of a $2 million cap hit this coming season, which is the cost of a player. He basically cost them a player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so all of that can be true, I think, at the same time, that for a guy who's been through what he's been through to raise the cup, that's good for him. You know, that's a good story.
It really is, and he deserved it. I mean, he, like I said, 8 minutes, but he didn't do a lot of bad things. In fact, in one of the games in the previous series, I think he was a +3, and, you know, it's easy to be plus on that team. You're on the ice with a lot of great players, and they score, and you're there, and you get a plus. So if you still believe that metric. But the bottom line is, I was happy that he got a chance, and he went pretty early in the rotation, which tells me how they feel about him as well.
The Penguins have reached a moment of truth. We've been talking about this story forever. How long is Gino going to be here? How long is Letang going to be here? So, Bob, perhaps we can invite the listeners into a conversation at 412-928-9370. Should the Penguins try to sign both of these guys, and will they?
I said this from the beginning. I want to maintain it. I think they'll find a way to sign Letang, but it will be at the expense of Malkin. Even though I think they really want Malkin to be here, I do think that. But I also think that the natural business part of this will preclude that from happening. So it'll save them money, which offers them opportunities in free agency to help them in other areas. You know, it would be nice, though, Joe, once in a while to see somebody from their system come up and play. And not just play, but take over a spot. You know what I mean? They need guys. And they have guys who've been, looked at as guys who can do it. Sam Poulin, for example, is a guy that's been down there for a while. I expect him to be up here a little bit sooner. He hasn't been up. wouldn't it be nice if one of those guys cashed in and moved into a position and making it easier on you as an organization?
So in the end, do you think they will sign Letang and they won't sign Geno? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And would you be okay with that? Sounds like
as long as they make the right deals.
Okay.
You know, subsequently, yes.
I'm wondering if I'm Letang, it feels now like every second that I get closer to free agency, there would be a burning curiosity to know just once in my career
how much you're worth.
How much am I worth?
Yeah.
Last I read, I think it was out of The Athletic. They were $1.25 million apart, or maybe that was Elliot Friedman. I can't remember, honestly. That doesn't sound like a lot to me. Does it to you? I think Letang is going to re-sign here. But every second that goes by, I would think he'd be more and more tempted to find out what he's worth.
And guess what? The worth will go up. The price will go up if there's a team out there that looks at the way Colorado plays or the way the Penguins played back in their run. When you can get a mobile defenseman who can make things happen, pinch when need be, has the speed to cover up and do all the things that Chris Letang can still do, they're close. They want a piece. That could be the piece. They'd be willing to bring it in at a pretty high price. And that's where it becomes a disadvantage for the Penguins, because I don't think they're going to play the game of matching, you know, if it gets to that point, dollar for dollar. I think they should and probably have talked. I think Letang said he and Hextall talked, but they're not going to say anything publicly. Okay, fine. That's good. But if they
if
don't
you're
get
Letang,
something done,
would you want to go to your hometown, Montreal, for a huge deal and play out your career?
It depends on what they – I don't think Montreal is in a position to do a lot right now. I don't like their team. So, I'd wonder about that. The money takes over everything, or are you playing for legacy? I still think he's making enough money, and he has already, that if the legacy, if he still believes they can win here with this team, with Sidney Crosby, his best friend, I think they'll find a way.
That's an interesting question.
I think Rust answered the same question, didn't he?
Well, I think for Letang, and you never know with a certain guy, what the pull would be like to play for your childhood team and put that C on your back, right? And I don't know how powerful that is for him. Maybe for more money than the Penguins would pay. It's hard to know what they're thinking. Or maybe he's been thinking all along, I'm raising my family here. I want to stay here. I want to play with Sid till we're both done together. Maybe that's the pull for him. I don't know.
I think it is a legitimate pull both ways. I think he has to decide which is more important.
And then Geno, I'm not sure if that gets done. If you're Geno, where else would you want to play?
Well, it's perfect here. He's always said, well, I mean, his wife likes it down there, South Beach. So, I mean, Florida's a team that could be tempting. There's been rumors before about them.
Of course, it would take Florida wanting him.
I think they would want him at the right price.
Maybe especially if they lose Trocheck.
Well, Trocheck's with Carolina.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah.
Yeah, so Trocheck's going to be a name out there.
Trocheck is a name out there as a replacement
for Geno. Right, so. You know, that story could take on some legs if the
Malkin
situation.
Is he a desirable guy for you?
I think he plays a good brand of hockey. He's not one of those guys who's going to rip off 100-point seasons, but he is a very good two-way player who has a way of drawing penalties, has a way of doing the little things that makes a difference.
And he'll give
and
you
I think
20 goals.
He would love to play here growing up in this area. So, but the first domino has to fall, and that would be who signs first, Letang or Malkin. And if it's Letang, how much money is left for Malkin? If he's not happy, he goes. That's
well,
the
they still have they have some money.
They do.
How much would you pay? And they'll have $9 million more freed. How much would I pay him? About $5 million.
How about if he wants $7 million?
Goodbye.
Which is still a pay cut for him.
Goodbye. Yeah, but he's been making more than Sidney for a long time. Right. You know.
So it depends on what he would want, and if he can answer the question too. By saying, I want to be here, and I'll do it to the tune of taking what this offer, whatever it may be, is. I've made enough money. I want to be in Pittsburgh.
Right, and if he's willing to do that, I take him. If he's not, if you're the Penguins, do you think this
model as it is right now, knowing what some of these other teams have, the same team. Now, this is getting older. You also have Jeff Carter, who's in his late
80s. I don't like that signing.
Or
did 80s, you?
30s.
He's in his 80s. He only played like that at times.
But my point is, it's an older group. Can you win with the older group? Are you willing to pay it? Now, the other thing I think the Penguins, and I think rightfully so, take very seriously is, you know, big crowds. All regular season does matter when it comes to bottom line revenue, and it does matter. It is a business.
Yep.
These guys attract people. These guys have built-in fans because of these guys.
Do they, though? Like, let's say the Penguins' season ticket base, just for I have no idea what it is off the top of my head. Let's say it was 11,000 right now. How many people would suddenly decline season tickets or not go on a given night if they were buying single tickets because of no Gina? A significant amount?
I don't know what the number would be, but I do think there are people who want to see entertainment, and these guys do provide it throughout the course of a regular season. They've made the playoffs how many years in a row? They're going to be in the conversation. If you lose one or both, you know, you may be signaling something different to the fan base, and I don't know. I don't know how that would affect it. But I don't think if Crosby's here, Crosby's going to want those guys. I think they're going to want him, and I still think it's going to come down to one of two, and Letang would be my choice.
And Letang is the one you think that they'll choose.
Because I think he has a bigger impact on this team.
Yeah. According to Friedman, they were, I think, 1.2 million apart, and they weren't close with Geno. So that seems to be the mm-hmm. way the winds are blowing here. Now, here's a listing of free agents. So if they lose one or both of those guys, but I'm thinking mostly Geno, and again, they'll still have money to spend too elsewhere. Let me just read some names, Bob, and you tell me like or no like. You ready?
Just one word, like or no like? That's two words.
Well, you can expound upon it okay. A little bit. Now, the top guys are not realistic here. Bergeron's going to be in Boston, very likely. Gaudreau. Philip Forsberg.
Interesting player.
I like expensive.
Him. I like him, though.
Claude Giroux. I don't want him here. No. Best player in the world?
Where's Peter Laviolette?
Here's the first realistic and very interesting one to me, should they lose Geno. Nazem Kadri.
Boy, was he clutch in game, what was it, four in overtime? And he's not clearly 100%. You'll probably read somewhere where he sucked it up to play in the last several games. Good player, nasty streak.
Yes.
I would like that, but again, it would depend on the price. And I think
all
price
of these
is gonna
depend
be,
on the price. His might be a little high. I'll grant you that. And he's 31.
Well, join the club.
That's sort of a concern.
Club.
But the player.
If you're trying to win now, you think he can help you in the next year or two?
Yes.
Then you have to consider that, yes.
And he's got. See, part of the Penguins' problem, and I do think they've outplayed both of these teams the last 2 years and would have won with good goaltending, but that's only round one.
Right.
You still got to get through three more to win the cup, two more to get there. They're a little bit bland, you know, to me. There's not a lot of personality and distinguishing characteristics among their lower line players and their defense, whereas there was when they were winning cups.
Yeah.
When you had guys like Bonino, Edge, Hornquist, Hagelin, Cullen, even Ian Cole, people like that.
Cole. I still believe that.
And listen, if they're going to take your heads off, if that's the way the league still wants it, then give me a guy like Kadri. A guy who plays with an edge and who's productive, I'd be all over that. I would.
I would, too. And there's another guy on your list, I'm sure, who's right up there, and he's got baggage. Evander Kane. He's a free agent, and you wonder, you know, he has a nice home in Edmonton right now, and they took a chance on him when nobody
yes,
else
they
would.
Did.
Are they willing to – he had a huge run in the playoffs. I mean, he was very
does
natural.
Does he still have unresolved – issues as far as suspensions or anything, or is he in the clear now?
Why would he have played if he had him? I can't believe he would be playing if there were still issues out there that needed to be taken care of. That would make no sense to me. So I imagine it's all in his past.
Would you take a chance on him?
How old is he?
Good question. I don't know. Right around 30 would be my guess.
You know, he's one of those signings that you know what you're going to get backlash if he does come in here.
He's exactly turns 31 in August.
Same as Kadri. So I would be interested. I would probably talk and see what I can figure out.
How about one of their own retaining? And this is just a general question because we're talking about a winger. Raquel Welch.
We didn't really get she was back in the day. Was she before Bo Derek? Bo Derek was a 10. Raquel Welch was.
Around the same time, Bob, I think. Ricard Raquel, would you keep him?
Raquel Welch, I would. You know what? I didn't see enough to make me think. Now, I thought if they had lost Russ, they would put a lot more emphasis on him. Yeah, I would try to, sure.
I was nonplussed with him. You like that word?
He's 28, nonplussed, yes. 28. Yeah.
I don't know. There was something when he first came here, I was like, this guy's got a little edge to his game.
Too,
he's more of a playmaker than I thought. And then it kind of wore off. I know he got hurt in the playoffs, but even in the scant minutes that he played before his injury and after, just very, very sort of bland is, again, a word I would use. Yeah. I'm not putting money into Raquel. I'm not. You?
I would say likely no, but it would depend on if I didn't have any other options that, you know, because they did acquire him. And I think Ron Hextall is one of these GMs who, when he acquires you, he feels there's some sort of reason to keep guys around, you know?
Yes.
Even though he had a history with Carter, he doesn't have a history with Raquel other than he brought him here. But he might like the fact that I did this, I'm keeping him around at the whatever the price may be.
How about good cop, bad cop? Andrew Kopp of the Rangers and Ryan Strome, both potential free agents. Either one or both
I like Kopp.
Interest you?
I thought Kopp was excellent for New York.
So did I.
I thought he was terrific.
They have a third-line center, of course, in Bluger.
They do.
Right?
But I still would figure, especially if I lost Malkin, I would try to figure out, you know, how I would attack the center position in free agency. Because you don't see anyone else in their system stepping up next year into a prominent role, do you?
I mean, there's a couple guys, when you say prominent, that would be top four defense or top...
I'm talking about top
two
six.
Lines. Yeah,
somebody
no, I don't. No,
in.
I don't.
I don't either. And they can try, but I don't know that it's going to work.
If they lose Letang, John Klingberg from the Stars...
He's a really productive player, but I wouldn't sign him.
Even if they lost Letang?
Even if they lost Letang.
Who's your guy then? Where do you find that guy on defense? Because it seems to me, even more than having that guy at goalie, that having him on defense seems to be a critical component of Stanley Cup champions, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And this is the problem the Penguins have. Again, I'm hoping some of these guys in the minors can, you know, flourish here sooner rather than later. If you had a stock system, you can make trades. You can do a lot of things to acquire guys who are
right.
ready to step into that role right now, who are not on your free agent list.
In this case, but I think you have to buy one.
You have
if you
to.
Didn't have
and
Letang.
I'm not, you know.
The money would be there.
How old is Klingberg? I keep asking that question, but I mean,
he came into the league in 14, so I imagine he's right around there too, late 20s, early 30s. But I'll look that up too as well, Bob.
I also
he's 29.
I don't
He'll
know.
Be 30 in August.
Okay, I don't
I'm pretty
think
good
Hextall,
on my guesses.
You are. I don't believe Hextall is the kind of guy like Rutherford who's going to overpay. He's not going to go out there and give a crazy contract, multiple years. You know, the term comes back to haunt you at times in the NHL. So I'm not sure.
Well, the problem is they're already overpaying for defensemen.
Yes.
They had the highest or second highest paid defense in the league
can
for
you
that
envision,
defense.
Can you envision a trade?
And that's Rutherford's fault, by the way. A trade for what?
I mean, trading guys like Dumoulin. Anybody else who they can, you know,
could envision any of that. Listen, if Hextall is able to partially get rid of contracts like Zucker's and Pettersson's, that might be the best work that he does. Because they have some albatross contracts hanging over them right now.
And again,
way too much money for what they're getting on defense.
I agree, but you got to get rid of it, and how do you get rid of it?
Well, you offer to take some salary and you deal a guy.
Right.
Because those are guys who could still play. Like, I could see a team valuing Zucker in a certain role. You're going to get a lot of heart. You're going to get some production. And you might get a healthy player.
Hopefully he's healthy.
And if the Penguins are willing to retain part of his salary, that could be a good move. Like, the Avalanche made some really good moves for people who are underperforming in other places, right?
Right.
Several
yeah,
of those. You mentioned Taves was one.
I love that guy. I think he gets not enough love for what he does.
I could see somebody valuing Zucker in such a way to where if the Penguins picked up some of his salary, they get a bargain. Same with Pettersson. If you put him in the right role,
yeah, when
he could help somebody.
He can help somebody, especially if it's a minimal price. And if you have to suck up some of the money, so be it.
Man, those would be among my priorities here if I was Hextall, is to get rid of some of that salary, especially on defense, where they're way overpriced.
Got to find someone who's willing to take.
412-928-9370. Going to switch gears coming up here and talk about a brawl in baseball.
But
this was a legit brawl.
It was. But I also have an answer to your previous question. This is from Pittsburgh Golfing on Twitter.
Please.
Guy hits me up and says, hey, Bob, tell Joe, know that screwing up after the next hole following a birdie. It's called PBF.
No. I don't think you're allowed to say even the acronym, Bob.
Is that not true? Okay. But he's answering your question.
I know.
Okay. So you knew the answer then? You knew what I was going to say.
I've been tweeted since then, and then I remembered, but I always knew that there was a word or two in there that
I didn't even know. I thought you could
be. I don't know.
I thought
is there a rule on acronyms here? I don't know. Is there or no?
He would have been okay with that.
It would have been okay. I got a little nervous there.
Yeah, you did. That's all right.
You got nervous.
All right. Folsy's running the show.
It'll be an off air conversation, I guess.
Okay.
Anyway, so that's your answer. I have it for you in case you want it.
Thank you, Bob.
And apparently, it really does inflict pain on a lot of people for whatever reason. Why are you too hot?
Well, especially if you're not used to getting birdies.
Why did you have a drive, three of them, and went out of bounds after you make a birdie? You should be stoked at that point.
You should know the answer to that. As a golfer, that golfing is life. You start feeling too good about yourself, something hits you. You start feeling bad about yourself, hopefully something raises you up a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's a very humbling game. So I was on top of the world with my birdie. And then you know what I felt going to the next tee? I'm not worthy of this. These guys are real golfers. They're judging me. What if I start to think I'm good? Am I now acting like I'm good because I made a birdie?
That little guy on your shoulders talking to you. You got to knock him off, man.
Right.
You just got a clear vision, focus on what you're doing, and forget about all of that.
You know, I should have stepped to the next tee and said, you know what? I am good, even though I'm not. I'm horrible. But I should have said, I just made a birdie.
Right.
Let's get this moving here.
That's right. You could will it. You can will it.
Instead, I went into a shame spiral, especially after I hit the tree. I did a drive off of a tree that was maybe 30 yards in front of me. It was a joke.
What happens?
You know what I did yesterday, though, Bob? On my way to 100? Played very conservatively. The toughest hole on the course at Westwood is a par 5. Maybe it's number 6, somewhere in there. And instead of trying to just pound it, you know, and be a hero, make hero shots, I said to myself, I'm going to use a wedge for my tee shot and just hit it straight. That's all. The Jim Colony plan.
Wait a minute. You hit a wedge.
No, not a wedge. Hybrid.
That's
hybrid.
That's not conservative.
Not a wedge.
That's plain out stupid.
I hit a hybrid is what I mean. I get confused between my hybrids and my wedges. And I went the Jim Colony route. I hit it maybe 130 yards, 40 yards.
Keep it in play.
Straight. Okay. Yeah. Then I needed to hit to the left to get, because it was a weird hole, right? I needed to hit it to the left to have a straight shot at the hole. So I took out a 7-iron. I said, all I'm going to do is hit this back on to, or where I need to have it, maybe 130 or 40 yards. I did that. Then my third shot was straight at the hole. And I put it a little to the right in the rough, but it was off the green. And my specialty these days is the wedge, the little sand wedge.
Yeah, that's
so I went up there with my sand wedge, feeling really good about myself, chipped it maybe 4 feet from the hole and drilled a par. And I parred the toughest hole on the course.
You were
focused. Boy, was I proud, Bob.
You should have been proud. And then you went to the next tee and shanked it left, right?
No. Next tee, I got into a dispute with the guys in front of me.
This is too much information.
They were playing poorly, which I can relate to, and a little bit slow, Bob. And I had been friendly with them as we were waiting to tee off on previous holes. And on this one, I said, do you mind if I play in front of you? Is that a reasonable request as a single?
Yes, and they should have offered. You shouldn't have had to ask.
They never offered.
Well,
they never offered.
Offer. If you're behind them with one person, first of all, you shouldn't be playing as a onesome.
Well, they let me.
They shouldn't let
me. What
you.
Am I supposed to do? Wait for a half
hour?
Wait
for somebody else.
There was nobody behind me.
Well, then,
it's
etiquette
a public
wise,
course,
they should have invited you to go.
Yes, they should have. And they didn't, which was fine. And then I said to the guy, do you mind if I play ahead of you? And you know what his passive aggressive response was? He's like, yeah, you're just going to have to wait when we get up there anyway. Just like that. And that started to play on my mind because then I sensed that they were behind me. I said, no, you know what? Go ahead. He's like, no, go ahead. Go ahead. Just like that. And then that changed the dynamic.
Right.
Heading forward with my mindset because now I had two guys behind me who were unhappy with me, who wanted me to play fast.
You should have joined them.
I didn't like them.
I could see it now.
I didn't like them.
Either
one of them.
Breaking news, brawl at local golf course triggered with Joe Starkey, radio host,
and then,
an etiquette battle that never came to a conclusion. Fists.
And then the next two, I said, I met them in the bar between the ninth and tenth holes. I said, hey, can I play ahead of you guys? Of course you can. You're a single. Go ahead. Then the next group was a group of four younger guys, and they offered. So all of that pointed back to these two other guys as poor sports, Bob. Right.
Yeah, I agree. They should have let you go.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the way you do it.
And you would have offered, right?
Oh, yeah. I don't like people breathing down my neck.
No, I don't like that either.
I'd rather you just go. Go ahead. You can go, and you should go.
Passive-aggressive response, wasn't it?
Pretty much.
Yeah, go ahead, but you will just be waiting anyway. And that played on me. That played on my mind for the next couple holes.
See, not only did you have Joe Coltsy almost drive off the path and roll over in a cart malfunction, he could have had one of those videos that you see on the golf course where people start yelling at each other, throwing clubs at one another. It would have been viral.
He does need a camera crew with him.
You can imagine my mindset then when I went up to the tee, knowing these guys didn't want me to go up to the tee. It was a mixture of anger. I'll prove it to them. And also insecurity. I suck at golf, and now we'll go back to how bad they're playing. Bob, it played on my mind, right?
It shouldn't.
He meant to do that, didn't he?
These are things you need to just phase out of your head.
Yeah.
You just do.
You're set up for failure. If you've got multiple things going on in your mind that isn't about hitting that golf ball, you're screwed.
Did you ever find the Folsy commercial?
I'm still in the works with it. I was recording a lot of Ron's things because he's out.
Okay. Was he on the line live then with you?
No, he was not. He sent them in.
He sent them in.
Yes.
All right. Coming up, Bob, there was a real live actual brawl in baseball. Let's talk about this. This was something to see. And we will talk about it coming up next on Cook and Joe.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.